You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Carrington Hospital, also known as Building 1, was built in 1867 and stands as a monument to Victorian-era healthcare in New Zealand. Until 2018, this Category 1 heritage building was part of Unitec's Mount Albert campus, but was sold to the government as part of the Carrington Residential Development, or Te Kukunga Waka. The goal was to build 4,000 new homes in collaboration with Auckland Residential and various iwi. However, concerns have been raised by locals about the degrading state of Building 1, as well as whether local infrastructure will be able to cope with intensification. I spoke to a range of individuals who want to see the building preserved and attended some of their protests. I also reached out to the owners, Ockham and Marutuahu, for comment. I first spoke to Chris Casey, chair of the Cachet Foundation, formerly known as the Point Chef Social Enterprise Trust, an organisation which has spearheaded a movement to see the building restored and repurposed as a local community arts and education hub, about the current state of Building 1, why it is deteriorating, and how it could be fixed and repurposed. Could you tell us a bit about the history and significance of Building 1, the former Carrington Hospital, and why it's a Category 1 heritage site?
So it's established in the early 1860s as an asylum, sort of a Victorian model based on the concept of nature nurtures. So the concept of the hospital back then was the environment helped with healing. I don't know about, it wasn't modern psychiatry like it is today. And also, I suppose, people were sent there when probably they didn't need to be sent there. Mild depression, postnatal depression, all sorts of things. Patients started going in there, I think, about late 1860s. It was a working farm. It burnt down in the late 1880s, I think. The front of it was rebuilt. And then over a period of time, as there were more patients, it then grew and they built more wings onto it. So it was given a heritage category because of, one, it's old, and two, of its significance to the area. So probably at the time it was the biggest employer around Mount Albert Point Chef.
So we've heard stories about vandalism, thefts and break-ins. What is the current state of the building at the moment?
The building's a mess. It's a disgrace. So it was a hospital up until 1992, I think. Then the Ministry of Education took it over for Unitec, and the Unitec's architecture design department moved in there for nearly 30 years. So it was a functioning educational hub full of creativity and vibrancy. And now, in the last 4 years, the reality of a building that is empty and not activated and not full of energy is prone to people misusing it. And the managers of the building, who were the government, didn't secure it well enough. And now we see lots of vandalism. People have got in, tagged it, jumped in, smashed windows, broken tiles, opened it up for the elements. So if you think what it looked like 4 years ago compared to now, it's a mess.
Yeah, and what do you anticipate the future of Building 1 will be? Are you worried it might deteriorate to a point of no return?
Yeah, well, the common thing in heritage preservation is that's called demolition by neglect. So it's a Heritage 1 building. It should be important to the government and also to Auckland Council in terms of its category. Cynically, you would think that it's been allowed to slowly rot from the outside in and the inside out. Your house, my house, if you don't fix the roof, water gets in, everything rots. I mean, it's up to the government and the managers of it, whoever's going to own it. They've got a very vital building. I don't think it's really perfect for housing. We've always thought as a community that it would be an amazing community centre and community arts and lots of maybe education, lots of different things, maybe a little bit of housing. But yeah, if you don't fix the roof now and you get through winter, it's going to cost you millions and millions and millions of dollars more.
To what extent has there been consultation with the public on this matter?
Well, there's no consultation. I mean, we have a Facebook page called Building 1, which we set up when we did a feasibility study for the government of what we thought the community use could be of that building. There's a disclaimer in the report that, iwi and government don't have to abide by our findings, but we did a massive survey of the community, open days, etc., of what it could be used for. The Crown, though, and we respect iwi's right of first refusal, under the treaty. So if they end up owning the land and the building, fair play to them. But we would hope that they would retain the building and keep it, keep its heritage values, but also keep it weather tight. That would be the most important thing.
Has your movement to preserve the building gained much traction?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, I suppose we've got traction because media are asking questions, which is important. The Carrington development, which is a massive development, you know, from the front of Building 1 all the way to the back of the Unitech Polytech to Phyllis Reserve, three Iwi groups. So it's a great opportunity to build some really cool housing and do some really neat developments. We always thought that as a group who's interested in the building and also the environment around it, that heritage could coexist really well with housing, and also the sanctuary gardens and the trees and the local environment and the ecology. At the moment it's pretty debrided of trees, and we have always been pro-development. We fought for the back of the building and went to the High Court a few years ago, and when the back of Carrington Hospital was going to be demolished to put a road in, and we thought that was pretty silly. And we used lots of wonderful heritage architects and planners and engineers to show that a road could go around the building and you could still keep a development. So we've always tried to be proactive and solution-based. So in terms of protest, I suppose we as a community see a building that we love. The reality, Liam, is for 30 years, the architecture design department and amazing artists and sound musicians and some of the most amazing artists that are in Aotearoa at the moment have gone through that place. There used to be 2,000 staff and students in there, lots of vitality, creativity. And, you know, we've reached out beyond the community to, you know, the two of the esteemed kaumātua were of the site, and they were poets and painters and amazing entrepreneurs themselves, and said, you know, fill the place with creative opportunities and outrageous expression is what they said. So they see that the building could be used as a local kura, you know, a school of outrageous expression. It could be education, it could be the arts. And that's what our study and our survey to the community in 2020 showed. The owners, what they want to do with it is their decision. We just said, hey, this is what the community, who are your neighbours, and potentially even the people who might live in your apartments, have thought about the place. And it would be cool to keep respecting the building.
What do you think this says about New Zealand, and in particular Auckland's ability to look after its heritage?
Look, there are some really amazing people who work within heritage. There hasn't been enough funding for it to protect buildings, so it's pretty woeful, but that possibly goes to where government doesn't have enough teeth and it allows people to knock things down. But you've seen really hopeful activity lately with the funding for the St. James, for example, to go ahead. But it's an isolation, and if you're going to get rid of built heritage, then what do you have? Heritage also has a huge economic value when you maintain buildings, and even costs you a little bit of money. The value in the long term is huge and exponential. People come to have a look at that. So, you know, in a mind's eye, people came off boats or, you know, ships down, you know, as tourists, or got off the plane and they went to a really funky place that could be Building 1 in the future, full of galleries and maker spaces and authenticity. Then that would be hugely beneficial for the economics of Auckland, and also for young people and artists who are authentic. And let's be honest, you know, if it wasn't for people like, you know, BFM and creatives, who are 5% of the GDP and economy, you know, last year was $18 billion, it's not a nice to have, it's a real thing. You know, the government should put more money into supporting these things, because there is an economic return. We know the social return, but the economic return is massive. And, you know, it can be done, and it doesn't have to be as expensive as I think to rehabilitate the building. You could do it in kind of timely fashion. You know, community, government, council, funders, it can all be done if you've got a will. And we'd be more than happy to support Iwi or Ockham or whoever it was. But if they don't want to do it, then give it to someone else. The reality is here's a listed Category A building sitting there with big holes in the roof, which are the most important things at the moment. I know the bylaw says that council can only enforce the entrances. So you and I, Liam, could get out with our, you know, our drills and our hex screws and some plywood, and probably we'd have a little team and we could fix it in a weekend. But they need some serious work for the roof. And again, that could be done, but there has to be a will. So we'll do a little poster campaign in the next few weeks, and you'll see our signs up, and it'll say, fix the bloody roof.
To gauge how the public has been engaging with Building 1, I attended two protests held outside Carrington Building 1 on Saturday the 30th of May and the 6th of June. I met with individuals involved in the movement to see the building protected, fixed, and repurposed. There I spoke to Mount Albert MP Helen White and local cafe owner Gareth Hughes. I first spoke to Mount Albert MP Helen White about her vision for Carrington Building 1 and the role that government has in its future. Yeah, so we're here next to Carrington Building 1. Yeah, what are your hopes for the future use of this building?
Well, I think it's got incredible potential. Like, we're building a lot of amazing houses, like the Ockham development here. This is really great to see affordable housing come in to our area, but we need to make sure that we have a lot more community space as well, because that's what makes it all work, and it makes it a really nice place to live. And I can see the potential in this building. I can see the potential we're going to need new schools. Mount Albert Grammar's at 3,500 kids. Like, that's crazy. Avondale's full. So where are the kids that we're putting into the Carrington site going to go to school? I can see a real opportunity here. And I can see an opportunity for an art space and for community space. I mean, this is a community where the library was demolished recently because it was unhealthy, and we really noticed it when we didn't have the library. Things went downhill fast at Point Chev. Imagine if this building became a source of community well-being. It would be amazing.
Yeah, and what do you think a building like this could do for the arts community?
My imagination goes wild when I see this building and I think about the things we could do with it. You know, apparently it was really beautiful inside. I was just talking to someone who used to work in it when it was in its old days, and it had black and white tiles in the foyer and a lot of wood, and it was a really interesting space. Imagine if we had an art gallery in there, and we had a coffee shop, and we had a library maybe in there. You know, I see these places as having so much potential also for our social services. Imagine if we had some of the community groups hanging out in that space together.
What is the role of government? What is it doing now, and what more can be done for this building?
Well, I think that there are things like the education department that could look at the site, and there's the arts and heritage that could look at the site. You know, these are conversations that I can have. I can lobby, basically, for these things. I mean, we all know that it's pretty tough out there at the moment, but I think we underestimate how much better people's lives are if you give them space they can hang out in free. It can make all the difference when things are tough.
Yeah, and what are you hearing from sort of the local community about this building?
You can hear the toots on the road. They're constant. People really want to save this building, and they've got a point. And the first I heard of the tiles on the roof being removed and the worry that water was getting into the building was actually up at a community meeting I held on green space and community space. And this was top of mind for the people in this area. They were really worried that they're going to lose this beautiful space because the tiles have been removed and the water's getting in. So I wrote to the mayor about that, and luckily we've had a little bit of action since then, so I'm proud that we're on the way to highlighting the issue. I think we're going to see so much more interest in the value of community space as we grow more houses, and I want to make sure that affordable houses doesn't just mean no community, it means affordable houses in a great community.
Here is what Gareth Hughes, operator of the local Waterview Coffee Project, had to say. What does the Carrington Building 1 mean to you?
Well, I grew up just passing it every day as a kid, so it's always been in my memory and my psyche, and I think it's a very important part of this community. I find it really incredibly sad to watch it decay and be ignored and neglected. So that's the sadness is caused by what I see, but I'm also really I'm angry at the fact that it could have been very different. It could have been something really interesting, really exciting for the community, for this part of Auckland and for Auckland generally. I think the potential was massive, and that seems to be rotting into the ground now.
Well, what do you hope it could be used for?
Well, I've always liked the idea of it becoming a first and foremost a community hub for incubation of business ideas, of craft ideas, of artistic ideas, a place that's supported by the community, is for the community. And it just, you know, that kind of bringing that kind of energy to the place, to this area and to this building, it could have been something really magical, I think.
Why are you here today? What are you protesting for?
I'm specifically protesting the fact that there's this very conscious effort to destroy the building, it looks like, from the outside anyway. And I've been asking questions. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time discussing stuff on social media, but when I see the discussion around Carrington Building 1 and then different people asking questions about who's responsible, I just see people saying they're responsible, we weren't responsible for this, we aren't responsible for this, the owners aren't responsible. And the question I've always had from the get-go is, how did it get to this point? Why was there not a clear plan of how it would be handled moving forward, rather than being given to what appears to be, from my understanding, to Iwi and Ockham to manage together, and no clear plan on how to protect it as a heritage site and then to develop it for the community? Despite those words being repeated, I don't see that in actual fact. It looks to me like there's a decision to make it uninhabitable so that something else has to be built instead.
And here's Alan Matson, a former board member of the New Zealand Historic Places Trust and current president of the Auckland Civic Trust, a non-profit organisation devoted to the protection of natural and built heritage.
And what is the meaning of the Category 1 heritage status, and how does that affect the preservation of this building?
Well, in fact, Heritage New Zealand listing doesn't actually provide protection as such. That is more a case of heritage recognition. The protections provided through its listing on the on Auckland Council's heritage schedule, which it's a Category A, and it's sort of the equivalent Category A, Category B, Category 1, Category 2. So in terms of Heritage New Zealand, this is a building of national significance, and for Auckland, that's a building of regional or potentially national significance. And what it does is it affects the extent to which you can make changes to the building if you apply for consent to do something with it. I don't think that there has yet been a consent lodged to do anything, and therefore it just sits and suffers through demolition by neglect. Well, that's the euphemism, but in fact in this case you can see quite clearly that the demolition will come through in due course by the water ingress through what's clearly the intentional removal of roof tiles.
Do you think there's anything that can be done to fix it?
Well, you either put back the tiles that are there, many of which are stacked around, or you put temporary cover over it if you want to. That's the moot point, if you want to. So who would have the ability to do so? Well, at the moment it's being developed by a development vehicle. The Department of Housing and Urban Development currently have ownership but not control. I think ownership passes when that project's finished.
Yeah, and how would you like to see it sort of maintained over time?
Well, I'd like to see it maintained so that it lasts as a building. How would I like to see it developed? I think, you know, within an overall larger residential development, there are a number of, you know, rooms in this building which can be creatively developed with some flair. And what purpose they serve, well, hopefully it should be as flexible as possible.
Is there like a will by politicians and developers to look after this building?
I think the will of government is probably coloured by the fact that they're about to hand over responsibility for it, and responsibility costs a bit of money to take care of. So I think the government isn't inclined to get involved any more than it has to. And as for the developer, well, I'm sure they have a fiduciary duty to their shareholders to maximise the financial return of the thing, which would suggest you might as well try and demolish the whole building.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about the building?
Just hopefully those with a responsibility for the building explore the creative possibilities and recognise the value that people do place on this as part of the community. It's been around for, you know, a long, long time, and it's a bit of a dud developer who can't think of something creative to do with it.
After the protest had ended, I met a local high school student outside Building 1 who claimed to be a regular visitor of the building and has extensively explored the interior. We spoke about what Building 1 means to him and about what he has witnessed inside about the deteriorating state of the building.
What does Building 1 mean to you? How long have you been coming here?
I've been coming here since about like February 2025. I usually hang out here with two of my other friends, and we usually just hang out in the lecture room or the big blue carpeted room with the projector on the top. That's about it. It's mostly just a hangout spot, nothing more, nothing less. Slowly getting torn apart though, so I don't know how long that's going to last. So,
what inspired you to start coming to this building?
I saw it and I thought it looked really cool and I may as well try it out once, and then I just kept coming back, so nothing's stopping me so far.
Did you have a favorite room?
Oh, I definitely have a favorite room. The big blue carpet room with the projector holder on the top. That is a beautiful room. I love that room.
How is the inside of the building changing over time?
More spray paint, more broken windows. I mean, some doors that I couldn't access before are being kicked open, so I guess that is a plus side to the vandalism. But overall, it's just the condition's getting worse and worse, so...
Do you notice a lot of vandalism going on here?
Definitely. No doubt in my mind. Every time I come back, there's something new.
Do you know what has happened to the roof tiles that apparently are falling off?
My idea is the roof is either rotting away and dropping the tiles, or it's just some kids hopping around on the tiles and they're falling off from the body weight.
Yeah, but you haven't noticed anything yourself?
Nah, not much. I've seen a few people climbing on it before when I'm out on the scaffolding on the outside of the building, but nah, even the people who climb on it, the tiles don't really fall off, so...
How many people would you say come here on a regular basis? And like, what's the most people you've seen in this building at any time?
Most people I've seen in this building at any time is probably 15 for their friend's birthday party. And I don't know, the number has dropped significantly since barricades and security cameras went up. So I would say I meet around three people here a week.
Cool. What kind of people do you find here?
Homeless people are limited now since the security cameras and borders have gone up. More or less just kids climbing in through windows trying to see what's in there. Yeah, it used to be absolutely ridden with homeless people when the borders hadn't gone up and when all the windows were accessible.
How is the security in here? Like, do you often see security guards coming in?
Well, I often see a cop car parked outside, but that's because there are people like walking around the building. Me, myself, I've never gotten caught, so I wouldn't say the security is too bad. They don't really care about this building enough to stop the break-ins. They just want to limit it, is what the construction workers who were building the border said. So, yeah, I'd say security is decent if it's actually needed, but if it's not needed, then they're just completely laying off of it.
I mean, have you noticed the developers coming in here? Did they ever do anything in this building?
Oh no, I've never seen anyone who owns this building come in here, ever. I think they're scared of this place. They've never stepped foot on the private property. It's only construction workers.
Well, would you like to see this building restored and fixed?
Yeah, I'd like to see it restored and fixed. Maybe give it... I mean, it would cost a lot of money, but I'd say if we actually tried, we'd be able to renew it and stuff, bring it back to its former days. But to be honest, the abandoned part of it is kind of what makes it special to a bunch of people. I wouldn't say that we shouldn't restore it. I would actually say that we should, because this place is just getting worse and worse, and eventually it's going to collapse in on itself and just be a pile of rubble.
If it were restored, how would you like to see this building used?
Probably as another part of Unitech. I was talking with my friends saying if this building was ever renewed, we'd come here for college. And I was like, oh, that'd be a pretty cool idea, but I don't think that's happening anytime soon, so...
To better understand the complexities surrounding the ownership as well as the legal heritage status of Carrington Building 1, I reached out to Auckland Council's heritage team as well as the Ministry of Housing and Urban Development. Here is Auckland Council's heritage manager Noel Reardon's response when asked about Auckland Council's role and intentions regarding Carrington Building 1, as well as the legal ramifications and responsibilities of having a Category A heritage status under the Auckland Unitary Plan. The former psychiatric hospital on the Carrington site, known as Building 1, is a Category A historic heritage place scheduled in the Auckland Unitary Plan. It was built in stages between 1864 and 1905. It is an imposing polychromatic brick building designed in the Victorian institutional style and arranged in a distinctive E-shaped plan. This was typical for hospitals of its era, and this building has significant heritage value as an exceptional example of Victorian institutional architecture. It has a strong landmark presence and represents the important story of how mental health and psychiatric care have evolved over time. The deteriorating condition of Building 1 is a concern from a heritage perspective, but the council's powers in relation to demolition by neglect are unfortunately limited. We cannot force owners to take action. We can only respond if the building becomes dangerous or if someone does something that contravenes the rules. Legislative changes would be required to give councils what they need to force owners to take action and prevent demolition by neglect in future, such as the ability to issue a notice to fix. The council does have grant funding available to assist owners of scheduled heritage properties with repairs and upgrades. Our Regional Historic Heritage Grants Program currently offers grants up to $50,000. Applications for the 2026-2027 financial year will open soon, and we would encourage the owners of Building 1 to apply for works that would help keep the building weathertight and secure, which should be the focus, especially coming into winter. We may also be able to fund feasibility studies or design work that will advance the longer-term options for reuse. Auckland Council also noted that the building is one of over 2,000 significant historic heritage sites in Auckland, of which 10% are listed as Category A with outstanding significance. Category A places are able to be modified and adaptively reused, but it is a prohibited activity to demolish more than 70% of the place. The Auckland Unitary Plan does not have any specific maintenance obligations that come with scheduling. And here was the Ministry of Housing and Urban Development's responses. When asked about who currently owns the site and whose responsibility it is to secure and maintain the building, the ministry replied, saying, "Responsibility for the building sits with the Marutuahu Ockham No. 6 Limited Partnership. The limited partnership has a development and sale and purchase agreement with the Crown that includes the former Carrington Hospital building. The practical effect of that is that while the Crown still holds the title, pending transfer to the limited partnership has been transferred the ownership responsibilities, including upkeep and maintenance." When asked about their hopes and long-term plans surrounding the Carrington residential development in Building 1, the ministry stated that this is a question for the Marutuahu, Ngāti Whātua, and Waiohua Tāmaki Roopu and their development partners. The overarching vision for the site is set out in the Reference Master Plan and Strategic Framework, which was jointly produced by the Ngā Mana Whenua or Tāmaki Makaurau and the Crown. But the detailed master planning and development outcomes are their responsibility. The former main Oakley Hospital, Building 1, is included in the Marutuahu Ockham No. 6 Limited Partnerships Development Agreement, and these are questions for them. Altogether, between 4,000 and 4,500 homes are expected to be built at the site, and 30% of these will be affordable homes below the median price, built to rent, progressive home ownership, or social housing. The exact proportions of these typologies will be decided over time. It's important to note that the development of the site has been signposted for a long time, and before the involvement of the current parties. The project site was previously part of Unitech's Mount Albert campus, and Unitech rezoned it for intensive housing development through the Auckland Unitary Plan process. Finally, when asked to what extent have local communities been consulted about this development, the ministry answered, "The development has been signposted since at least 2014, and the community has had an opportunity to put forward submissions through the Auckland Unitary Plan process. PC 94 has similarly been an opportunity for the community to submit on the planning framework for the site, and decisions were made by Auckland Council's Hearings Commissioner in March 2025. The Ministry has previously had semi-regular catch-ups with the Albert Eden Local Board and held some targeted community engagement. However, the Marutuahu, Ngāti Whātua, and Waiohua Tāmaki Roopu and their development partners are responsible for current engagement on their development plans." That was Chris Casey, Helen White, Gareth Hughes, Alan Matson, a local high school student from Mount Albert, the Ministry of Housing and Urban Development, the Auckland Council Heritage Team, all speaking about the worsening state of the former Carrington Hospital Heritage Building and movements to see it fixed and repurposed. Representatives from Ockham and Marutuahu were not available for comment.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.